It's my great honor and pleasure to be able to share God's word with his people today. Our God is so faithful. I'm learning that so much as of late. It's so easy for us to say the things that we know are true about God, but it's a whole different thing for us to prove out that he is true to his word by experience. Amen. Yeah. And God was faithful to me today for this week, friends, when I asked him to help me to know what he wanted to say to his people. Last week, we read in chapter 11 of Hebrews about the faith of Joshua and the people of Israel when they came up to the city of Jericho. And our main text last week, it's not on the slides, but it was in Hebrews 11, and it says, it was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. But this week, at some point, while I was praying or reading God's word, the Holy Spirit brought me to verse 4 of the same chapter in the book of Hebrews. And this is our first text, Harv. It says, it's Hebrews 11, verse 4. And it says, should be our first slide, Ross. It says, it was by faith that Abel brought a more acceptable offering to God than Cain did. Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed his approval of his gifts. Although Abel is long since dead, he still speaks to us by his example of faith. And so before we turn to Genesis 4, which is the account of Cain and Abel, it's the story of them, we need to pray. So please pray with me. Father, we are your people, Lord. We are your sons and daughters, God. And Lord, I pray you love us, Lord. But I pray today that you would speak to us as your sons and daughters, God. Your word says that you discipline those that you love. And you said, if we're not disciplined by the Lord, then we're not his children. And he said, you said, what father is there who doesn't discipline his children? And so we know, Lord, that when your word comes to us, no matter how hard it is, Lord, we believe it's because you love us. And Lord, I just pray to you right now that you would cleanse me and wash me of all of myself, and that you would touch my lips and let me say what you want to say. I pray that you would take this word I prepared, Lord, and make it your very own. Amen. So let's read the account of Cain and Abel in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. It's our next slide. This is what the Bible says. It says, now Adam had sexual relations with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant. When she gave birth to Cain, she said, with the Lord's help, I have produced a man. Later she gave birth to his brother and named him Abel. When they grew up, Abel became a shepherd while Cain cultivated the ground. When it was time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel brought a gift, the best of his firstborn lambs from his flock. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry, and he looked dejected. So, in case somebody is not familiar with this passage, Cain and Abel were the first two children ever born into the human race. Their parents, Adam and Eve, were created directly by the hand of God, Adam out of the earth and Eve out of Adam's rib. And at the time of our passage in Genesis 4, Adam and Eve had already rebelled against God and his command. And at that time, the entire human race was brought under the curse of sin. It remains that way today, friends. And you can go and prove that one out by yourself by reading the news or looking around. It remains that way today, friends. So these events that we read of are very, very early in human history. And they were hundreds, maybe thousands of years before the law of Moses was given to the children of Israel. When Moses received the law of God from the law of God from the Lord on Mount Sinai, it included a complex sacrificial system. And in it, there were various sorts of offerings were prescribed. There were, for example, burnt offerings and grain offerings and peace offerings and thank offerings and other offerings. And some of the things that God's people were permitted to offer included bulls and goats and lambs, doves, bread made without yeast, grain, wine, and other produce, because most people were farmers back then. Everybody grew their own food. And you can read about all of this in detail in the book of Leviticus. It's a tough read, but it's all in there. So you can read it there. But at the beginning of time, friends, before then, before that law was given, there were no such rules yet. And so Abel, it says, being a shepherd, brought a lamb to sacrifice. And Cain, being a tiller of the soil, brought some of his crops, probably loaves of wheat or barley. And so one very basic point that we could learn from our passage at this point is this. For as long as humans have existed, they have brought offerings, they've worshiped the Lord by bringing sacrificial gifts to him. It was from the very beginning, friends. And so this business of what I'm talking about today of offerings, it's not a fad. It's not something cooked up here. It's fundamental. It's foundational. Amen? And it's not legalistic either, friends. We can't write this business off saying, well, it's legalism. But it's not, because Cain and Abel weren't under the law of God. I just said, and we're not under the law of God. So this business of offerings, it was and it is a ministry of grace. Secondly, at this point, we could also take note that similarly, from the beginning, God has always received worship. So people always brought it, and God always received it. So the Bible says at verse 4, the Lord accepted Abel and his gift. God has never had a problem with it. It has never been improper or out of place for God's children to honor him with their earthly possessions and their wealth. Amen? It never was. It is true that the text says the Lord did not accept Cain and his gift. Okay, it says that, but it wasn't categorical. It wasn't as if the Lord was saying, I don't receive gifts. Well, because he did. It's not like the Lord was saying, well, I don't receive gifts from people named Cain, or I don't receive gifts from the field. It wasn't like that. Because some people say, well, Cain's gift was grain, and that's why it was wrong. But the law made for grain offerings, so that couldn't have been the problem with it. It couldn't have been the problem that he brought grain if the law later on prescribed grain offerings. Okay? In verse 6, God clearly said that if Cain does what is right, he and his offering would be accepted. It's not on the slides, and it wasn't part of what I read, I believe, but I'll read it to you out of my Bible. So right after verse 5, which I did read to you, verse 6 says this. It's on the slide. God says, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. So that is all of that is to say is that God has always received offerings. Okay. However, in our opening text in Hebrews 11, verse 4, God says, by faith, Abel brought a more acceptable offering than Cain. Do you remember that, friends? That was our first verse. And so the question is, how or why? How is it, friends, that Abel brought a more acceptable offering than Cain? And more importantly, friends, how is it today that you or I could bring a more acceptable offering to the Lord? Amen? Because that's surely the goal, friends. Surely the goal is for us, God's people, to bring the more acceptable offering. Amen? Amen. Friends, do we agree? So at the outset, do we agree, friends, with God's word and with his spirit that our desire of our hearts should be to follow in the faith footsteps of Abel? I agree, Lord. I agree with you, God. So the good news is that the Holy Spirit is here today to guide us into paths of righteousness. The Bible says he leads me, he leads us in paths of righteousness. But we will see that the Lord demands truth in the inner parts, in the inner man. And we will have to have faith. So there are two ways, friends. Abel's offering could have been more acceptable than Cain's offering. Abel's offering would have been more acceptable if Cain brought his offering with there being an unresolved sin between him and the Lord. I'll say that again. So Abel's offering would be more acceptable to the Lord if Cain brought his offering with there being unresolved sin between Cain and the Lord. Amen? Amen. The Bible clearly teaches us, church, that we cannot worship God if we continue to live in rebellion to his word. Okay? So you need to listen carefully to me, because I am not talking right now, but right now I'm not talking about people who love the Lord but sin. That's lots of people. They love the Lord but sin. I'm not talking about those people. I'm talking about people who still love themselves and their sin more than anything. Okay? Those people, if those people cannot bring, and the Lord knows who they are, and they know who they are. But God knows who they are. Let's look at our next slide and see about this. It says in 1 John 3, verses 9 and 10. This is what God says. It says, those who have been born into God's family do not make a practice of sinning because God's life is in them. So they can't keep on sinning because they are children of God. So now we can tell who are children of God and who are children of the devil. Anyone who does not live righteously and does not love other believers does not belong to God. That's the word of the Lord, friends. And so I want to say, if you're visiting us and if you're not a Christian today, if you've never repented and turned away from your sins and surrendered your life to God, you are in fact God's enemy. And our holy God will not receive anything from unholy, unregenerate people. If you don't believe me, let's listen to what God himself says. Our next slide is Proverbs 15:8. This is what the Lord says. He says, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but he delights in the prayers of the upright. Let's look at another slide. The next slide is Proverbs 21, verse 27. It says, the sacrifice of an evil person is detestable, especially when it is offered with wrong motives. So was this Cain, friends? Was this Cain in Genesis 4? I think so. How else can we explain what happened after his gift was not accepted? Let's see. Let's look to the word back to Genesis and see what happened after his gift was rejected. This is what it says, carrying on in Genesis 4. It says, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain. Why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. So one day, Cain suggested to his brother, let's go out into the fields. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. The old translation says, and slew him. Afterward, the Lord asked Cain, where is your brother? Where is Abel? I don't know, Cain responded. Am I my brother's guardian? Wow. But the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are cursed and banished from the ground, which has swallowed your brother's blood. No longer will the ground yield good crops for you, no matter how hard you work. From now on, you will be a homeless wanderer on the earth. Do you see this, friends? The Bible shows us that Cain had murder in his heart. The man had murder inside of his heart. And yet, he presumed to bring an offering to the Lord. How could that be? How could he suppose that that is possible? Who did he think God was? Or what did he imagine God was like? And yet, friends, I tell you, the same thing is happening in the house of God today. Listen to what the Bible says about Cain in our generation. The next slide is 1 John 3. This is what God says. Anyone who hates his brother or sister is really a murderer at heart. And you know that murderers don't have eternal life within them. So today, friends, there are people among us who have hearts full of hatred towards other people. They are murderers in heart. Others have hearts that are full of greed or full of lust or full of unforgiveness. Others, friends, among us are living in open and flagrant disobedience to the word of God. And yet, they presume to come into the house of the Lord and bring him an offering. How can that be, friends? How can that be, friends? It is, friends, because there's nothing new under the sun. And the church has become like Israel was in the days of the prophets. Listen to what the prophets said about the people of Israel. This is in Ezekiel. Our next slide is Ezekiel 9:9. This is what God said. He said, then he said to me, the sins of the people of Israel and Judah are very, very great. The entire land is full of murder or people with hatred in their hearts. And the city is filled with injustice. They are saying the Lord doesn't see it. The Lord has abandoned the land. The Lord doesn't see it, is what they say, friends. Let's look at our next slide. It's in Isaiah, the book of Isaiah, chapter 29, verses 15 to 16. God says, what sorrow awaits those who try to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their evil deeds in the dark. The Lord can't see us, they say. He doesn't know what's going on. How foolish can you be? He is the potter. He is certainly greater than you, the clay. Should the created thing say to the one who made it, he didn't make me? Does a jar ever say the potter who made me is stupid? Oh, how I pray that there was no one in this house of God who would be like Cain, who would suppose to approach the living God with a heart that has never been and has no desire to be made right with him. But alas, God knows this is not true. The book of Hebrews said, friends, that Abel's offering gave evidence that he was a righteous man, and God showed approval of his gifts. You see, Abel was a righteous man. Offerings today, friends, are for righteous people. We can only come to God with clean hands and a pure heart. But Cain had no faith. He had never been born again, and therefore he had no offering to bring to the Lord. But by faith, righteous Abel brought a more acceptable offering. Friends, the Lord is patient. It is true, he is patient. But today I believe the Holy Spirit means business. If you have been coming to this house of God, sitting under the word of God now for weeks or months or years, sorry, friends, I lost myself. I'll finish that thought. If you've been coming to this house of God for a long time and you haven't surrendered your life and you haven't repented and you haven't turned to the Lord and you're not walking in obedience, you're not living, the Bible says, living righteously, and you don't love your brothers and sisters, you're in grave danger. You're in grave danger of God's judgment. God said to Cain, and he says to us, if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, and it is eager to control you. And friends, without Christ in our hearts, we are slaves to sin, and it will control us, and it will destroy us here and now and for eternity. Church, the time is short. God says, if you're walking in the path of Cain, and you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. Be earnest and repent. Forsake your sins and turn to the Lord. Amen. So maybe you're listening to me and you're thinking, oh, well, Terry, I am not like Cain. I am a Christian and I love the Lord. So what you're saying doesn't really apply to me. Well, that is very well. But what if, friends, we gave Cain the same benefit of the doubt that we like to give to ourselves? What if we supposed that at the time Cain brought his offering, things really were, as you say, all good between him and God, between you and the Lord? What if they were good? Even then, if that was for the case, if that was the case for Cain, and if it is the case for you and me today, the Holy Spirit wants us to know that even so between those brothers and even between the people of faith in the house of God today, Abel still brings a more acceptable offering to God than Cain. I'll say that again. No, I won't. I'll carry on. Do you understand what God is saying? He's saying today in this house of God, as between you and me, between the people who have been born again, who do live righteously, who do love their brothers and sisters, some bring Cain's offering and some bring Abel's more acceptable offering, friends. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would convict us today. What do you mean, Terry? I mean that Abel's offering is the only acceptable offering for a child of God to bring to him. And what was that offering, friends? A sheep? No. The Bible says it. Let's look at our next slide. Is it Genesis 4:4? It says, Abel also brought a gift, the best. He brought the best of his firstborn lambs from his flock, and the Lord accepted Abel and his gift. Abel, friends, brought the best. The spirit of Cain-like believers, friends, brings some crops or something or anything or maybe nothing. But the spirit of faith in Abel-like believers brings a more acceptable offering. He brings his very best to the Lord. Amen. So church, let's open our hearts to God here. Let's open up our hearts to God and let's open up the Bible to a very interesting account about something just like this. It's in 1 Chronicles chapter 21. You can turn there, but we'll read it in a minute. But I'll just talk to you about that. So in that chapter, 1 Chronicles 21, we read about an incident in King David's life. And the Bible says that Satan enticed King David into taking a census of his kingdom. And Satan whispered to David, take account of all you have, your people and your warriors, count it all up. And so David did. But the Bible says it was a great sin. It was like people today who love to look at the balance of their portfolios all day long to see how much money's in it. It's like people today who are in love with how big their house is. Or they love to glory in how many fields they own, or how many cows, or trucks, or guns, or children. And I suppose, even for pastors, how many people come to church on Sunday? So David's sin was one of pride, and of trusting in people and in things. And God calls his people to humble themselves and to trust only in him. Amen. So God's judgment falls God's judgment falls for 3 days, and a great pestilence strikes the land. And the Bible says that 70,000 people died, and that the death angel of the Lord was poised, ready to destroy Jerusalem itself. That is what is happening. Okay, now we can pick it up at verse 18. So let's read what the Bible says at verse 18. So this is what it says. Then the angel of the Lord told Gad to instruct David to go up and build an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Arauna, the Jebusite. So David went up to do what the Lord had commanded him through Gad. Arauna, who was busy threshing wheat at the time, turned and saw the angel there. His four sons who were with him ran away and hid. When Arauna saw David approaching, he left his threshing floor and bowed before David with his face to the ground. And David said to Arauna, "Let me buy this threshing floor from you at its full price. Then I will build an altar to the Lord there so that he will stop the plague. Take it, my lord the king, and use it as you wish," Arauna said to David. "I will give the oxen for the burnt offerings and the threshing boards for wood to build a fire on the altar, and the wheat for the grain offering. I will give it all to you." But David replied to Arauna, "No, I insist on buying it for the full price. I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord. I will not present burnt offerings that have cost me nothing." So David gave Arauna 600 pieces of gold in payment for the threshing floor. David built an altar there to the Lord and sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings. And when David prayed, the Lord answered him by sending fire from heaven to burn up the offering on the altar. Then the Lord spoke to the angel, who put the sword back into its sheath. When David saw that the Lord had answered his prayer, he offered sacrifices there at Arauna's threshing floor. Oh, how I love the heart of King David, friends. I love King David's heart. He totally blew it, but he's a man of God. So he fights back and he says, "I will not take what is yours and give it to the Lord. I will not present burnt offerings that have cost me nothing." And so, friends, he paid 600 pieces of gold and bought it all and made an offering of it all. I calculated the math. I found out the spot price of an ounce of gold. And David spent $450,000 in today's money that day in an offering, one offering. $450,000 he offered up to the Lord. He chose, listen, friends, he chose to pay $450,000 for an offering he could have presented to the Lord for nothing. Friends, I ask you, were they or would they have been the same offering? Would it have been the same offering? I mean, it was the same oxes, the same boards, the same grain, the same fire, the same everything. Would it have been the same offering? No difference, right? No difference. The Lord wants to take us deeper, friends. The Lord wants us to take us deeper. Let's turn to Malachi chapter 1 and read about what we're talking about from that chapter. Malachi chapter 1, verses 6 to 10, and then 12 to 14a. Are you there? Are you ready? This is what the word of God says. "The Lord of heaven's army says to the priests, to the believers, to the real Christians, the true ones, 'A son honors his father, and a servant respects his master. If I am your father and master, where are the honor and respect I deserve? You have shown contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we ever shown contempt for your name? You have shown contempt by offering defiled sacrifices on my altar. Then you ask, how have we defiled the sacrifices? You defile them by saying the altar of the Lord deserves no respect. When you give blind animals as sacrifices, isn't that wrong? And isn't it wrong to offer animals that are crippled and diseased? Try giving gifts like that to your governor and see how pleased he is, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Go ahead, beg God to be merciful to you. But when you bring him that kind of offering, why should he show you any favor at all? Asks the Lord of heaven armies. How I wish one of you would shut the temple doors so that these worthless offerings could not be offered. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of heaven's army, and I will not accept your offerings. But you dishonor my name with your actions. By bringing contemptible food, you are saying it is all right to defile the Lord's table. You say, it's too hard to serve the Lord. And you turn up your noses at my command, says the Lord of heaven's army. Think of it. Animals that are stolen and crippled and sick are being presented as offerings. Should I accept from you such offerings as these, says the Lord? Cursed is the chief who promises to give a fine ram from his flock, but then sacrifices a defective one to the Lord. Friends, how are our offerings to the Lord today? Are you bringing offerings to the Lord God Almighty that cost you nothing? Are we giving our God our junk as an offering? Are we bringing leftovers to our Savior and calling it a sacrifice? Are you giving God your garbage, literally? What you would have otherwise thrown out, is that what you're giving to the Lord? Friends, I'm telling you that the Holy Spirit sees it happening in this house of God. And it is an insult. It is a hurtful insult to the heart of our God when it happens. Listen, friends, God says he can more easily forgive the person who's living in flagrant sin, who comes into this house and presumes to give God an offering. That person is ignorant. He doesn't know the Lord. He doesn't know any better. The Lord can more easily forgive that person. But what about you and me? What about us who say we know and love Jesus? When we come in here and give him what's left over and call it to his face worship. These offerings that we're bringing to the Lord from our folds and our flocks, from our bill folds, from our bank accounts. Is it garbage? Is it leftovers? Is it scraps and crumbs? The Lord says he sees it. And it's not hundreds, it's not thousands, it's not tens of thousands, it's not hundreds of thousands. It's millions of dollars that are in or passing through your hands today. And you presume to come into the house of God and offer him a stolen or a blind or a diseased lamb. That is happening, friends. You know what? When I was preparing this message and I got to that part, I believe the Holy Spirit said to me this. I believe he said this. He said, tell them, Terry, this whole business about offering money, it's mere child's play. It's for Christians in diapers. It's for babies in the faith. It's a distraction from the real thing. And he said, so ask them about their real offerings. I said, what? He said, ask them about their heart offerings. For as it is with their money, it is with their hearts. The Lord is true, friends. And the Bible is true. The true offerings, the true sacrifices of God's people are not money, man. They're spiritual. They are from and of our hearts and of our lives. Okay? Let's read what the Word of God says about this. Let's read Psalm 107, verse 22. There's a bunch of slides here, Ross. This is what it says. Let them offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and sing joyfully about his glorious acts. The next slide, Psalm 141, verse 2. Accept my prayer as incense offered to you, and my upraised hands as an offering. Psalm 51, verse 17 says, My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. The next slide, Hebrews 13:15 says, therefore, let us, through Jesus, offer a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. And the last one, Romans 12, verse 1. It says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. The Holy Spirit is pressing us for the truth today, church. And he says, what about our offerings and sacrifices of prayer and worship? The real stuff. The real stuff. Are the prayers and praises we lift up to God from within our hearts by faith a more acceptable offering? Or are they too, as it were, sick and diseased and lame and blind and crippled? Friends, the Holy Spirit sees and he knows. And he says that he sees when our hands and our hearts are folded up to him, when they're closed. He sees that when we worship God like this, when we worship God like this, when we turn this way to the word, he hears and knows the thoughts and intentions of our hearts, friends. He hears this. He hears this. I don't like it. It's too loud for me. It's too slow for me. It's too this for me. It's too that for me. 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 I. Me. Church, God says, he said it. These things are not offerings at all. They're not sacrifices, and it's not worship. He said it is contempt for his name. He said it's contempt for my name, and he said it's a disgrace to my name. And God actually says, he actually says the same thing to us as he said to Cain the murderer. He said, I will not accept it. I will not accept such offerings. And you heard, he even said, friends, it would be better for this place to be closed up. If that's how we're going to treat him, if that's the way we're going to offer to him, it would be better for this place to be closed up. That's what God said. That's what's in his heart, friends. So brothers and sisters, do you know why God is speaking this word to us today? Do you think it is because he wants more of your money and prayer and worship? Is that what you think, friends? If that is what you think, friends, you are deceived and you're still blind. I'm sorry. No, friends. The Lord is speaking this word to us today because the Lord knows who he is. The Lord, I'll say it again, the Lord God knows who he is. Let's read what he said in Malachi, back in Malachi. It's the next slide. This is what it says back in where we were reading in Malachi. God says, but my name is honored by people of other nations from morning till night. And all around the world, they offer sweet incense and pure offerings in honor of my name. For my name is great among the nations, says the Lord of heaven's army. For I am a great king, says the Lord of heaven's army. And my name is feared among the nations. Our God is great and greatly to be praised, and he knows it, Lord, friends. God's concern, friends,
is that you and I, professing Christians, do not know who he is or what he has done. Do you not know, brother or sister, that God, our Father, made an offering? God made a sacrifice, friends. He did. He, our God, our Father, gave up his very best, his one and only, friends. There weren't other things. There wasn't a spare. There wasn't an extra. There wasn't one he was going to get back. His one and only son for you and for me. This is what the Bible says. Let's look at the next slide, Romans 3:25a. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The next slide, so familiar, John 3:16. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only son, the most precious thing he had, so that everybody who believes wouldn't perish, but have eternal life. And do you know, friends, do you know, brothers and sisters, that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, also made an offering? He made a sacrifice. He brought an offering to God. He endured the cross, despising the shame, for you and for you and for me, for payment of our impossible sin debt. Let's look at what the Bible says. Sorry, Ross, I'm switching you back and forth so much. Next two slides, 1 Peter, verses 1-18. So beautiful, friends. For you know that God paid a ransom to save you from the empty life you inherited from your ancestors. And the ransom he paid was not mere. It wasn't mere gold and silver. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless and spotless Lamb of God. Look at the next slide, Ephesians. Ephesians 5 says, imitate God. We just read about his offering, his kind of offering. Imitate God in everything you do because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. Christ, he loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice, a pleasing aroma to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Friends, I'm almost done. I believe, friends, that when God the Father let his son go to the cross, and when Jesus Christ was in the garden praying so fervently that he was bleeding, and he said, thy will be done, it was a real offering. It was a true gift. It was not a mere or temporary or retrievable deposit. It was a true gift. It was a real sacrifice, an offering. And something, when Jesus went to the cross, exceedingly and infinitely precious and valuable was given up and given away and released and let go of and forfeit and surrendered and lost and sacrificed and traded and exchanged forever. And it was done in order that God would gain you and me to himself forever. Anybody, friends, anybody who stands before the Lord God on judgment day in their own sin will suffer and will bear an irrevocable and an eternal consequence. If we stand before the Lord in our own sin on judgment day, the consequence will be eternal and irrevocable. Amen? Amen. And so when Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, he too suffered an irrevocable and eternal consequence in our place. And it's mysterious, and we might not understand all of it, but we sing about it in this place. We sing songs like this that say, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sin upon the cross. No, I'll never know how much it cost to see my sins upon the cross. There's a hymn that we sing. It says, were the whole realm of nature mine, everything in the world, all the money, if it were all mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. So let me say it. Let me shout it. God is worthy. God is worthy. He's worthy because of his great love for us, which he proved forever by offering and sacrificing his son. We'll just read one more verse. It's next on the slide. It's Romans 5, verse 6 to 8. It says, you see, at just the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Friends, if we had the slightest, the faintest glimpse, the slightest and faintest glimpse of God's glory and of his great love, we would never, ever bring the Lord an offering other than Abel's more acceptable offering. Amen. So I have two things to close. I'm going to read you a passage. It's not on the slides, but it's from Revelation 5. And it's a glimpse into heaven right now of what the hosts of heaven have to say about what I'm talking to you about today, okay? So I'm going to read it. You might want to close your eyes, but you want to listen to what is happening in heaven right now. And then after that, I'm going to play a song and a video on the screen that I hope all of us will be able to see and hear instead of a closing hymn. So I'm going to read to you right now from Revelation 5, the whole chapter. This is what it says. It says, then I saw in the right hand of him who was seated on the throne a scroll written within and on the back, sealed with seven seals. And I saw a mighty angel proclaim with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the scroll and break its seals? And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look into it. And I began to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll or look into it. The scroll speaks of God's plan of salvation for us. And one of the elders said to me, weep no more. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered so that he can open the scroll and its seven seals. And between the throne and the four living creatures among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, with seven horns and with seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked, and I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads, thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever. And the four living creatures said, amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. Amen.